Coming to you live from the Jim Butler Ballroom at the Mitzvah Hotel. It's time for another commute with your hosts, Faye and Brenda. This is Drive Time to Nova.
Well, here we are once again. Thank you for joining us on Drive Time to Nova. I am the Faye driver, and of course, always by my side, it's Brenda Boo. Good day, Brenda.
Well, hello, Faye driver. You know what today is?
Yes, Brenda, I know. Today, the day that we're recording this, is your birthday.
Yes, it's my birthday, Faye. You know what happened today when I went to the pharmacy? It was about the cutest thing that's happened to me since I moved here to Washington.
Someone asked you for your identification because they didn't think you were old enough to buy the cigarettes.
Well, I don't smoke, but thank you. That's a nice idea. No, I was at the pharmacy, and the last I knew, they didn't sell cigarettes at the pharmacy.
Oh, they don't? They sell cigarettes at my pharmacy.
Oh, well, maybe at a different part. This was just a pharmacy.
Okay, so what happened?
So I go up there, and, you know, your birthday has become secret code for everything in America, no matter what you're going to pick up. They're like, what's your birthday? So I was picking up these two medicines, and the lady says, what's your birthday? I said, 120-64. And this other lady, she turns around in her chair, and she says, did you say 20? And I'm like, uh-huh. And she's like, happy birthday to you. And then this other guy in the back starts singing, and then this other lady, and then the guy goes, why didn't you tell me it was your birthday? I would have got you some donuts and all this. It's so cute. It made me so happy.
Aw, how nice. Those Washingtonians are all kooky.
Yeah. I was reading online yesterday about this thing called the Seattle Freeze. Have you heard of this?
No.
Supposedly people in... kind of winded. People in Seattle are kind of frosty.
Frosty? What? Yeah.
Like, they're not very friendly.
Oh, their attitude is cold?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I'm not entirely surprised by that. Mm-hmm. I think that's a West Coast kind of a thing.
I don't know that the Midwest is any nicer. They might be more superficially polite, but...
I think there's a general feeling that it's hard to get to know people. It's hard to get to make friends. In Vancouver, anyway, so I'm applying that to the whole West Coast.
Mm, yeah, I've heard that about you Canadians. Kind of standoffish. What do you think about that? You think that's true?
I think it is difficult to meet people in Vancouver, but then I also think that people are very friendly. People prefer to remain acquaintances or to keep you at arm's length, and I don't think people are very interested in this day and age in building close relationships.
What if Americans beat you into submission?
Well, some people you just can't get away from, right?
Oh, dear. That's.
I mean, so... you'd think six or seven states away, you'd be safe.
Now it's only an hour. Oh, dear.
What do you think of? I mean, the story of this morning in the pharmacy, that sounds like a pretty friendly town, though.
Yeah, I've had lots of really pleasant interactions with strangers since I've gotten here. Yeah, just like when I go down by the water and people are walking their dogs, they seem real relaxed and very comfortable making conversation.
You were talking on one of your recent Hello Again, It's Brenda Boo shows.
Yes.
About how you were feeling like humanity was against you, but then you had a very positive experience when you went in to see your doctor for the first time.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was encouraging because I, too, was feeling like the world sucks. What's the point of being here? The humanity is done for.
How come you were feeling like that?
Well, I don't know. It's been busy at work and... Just being busy in life in general and...
Coming down to the States more than you ever thought you'd ever do in your lifetime. I hope that's not part of your stresses.
No, but I just think, like, overall, it seems everywhere you go, there's a general disdain for the world, or like people are, it's like everyone's grasping their goodies to their chest, and it's like, I feel like we're always fighting. This is my space. Don't take my parking space. I want that bottle of NyQuil. Don't take the last bottle of NyQuil, you bastard. Right? Oh, this lady's writing a check in line.
I see.
You know, that kind of stuff.
You know, I talked about, on that last show, I talked about our trip up the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very nice day together, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. That was really something, to go up that mountain and see all the different weather, like within a 20-minute period, wasn't it?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
And it was so cold. I felt like, it's like, here, let's have Faye and the Batgirl drive me all the way to the top of this mountain and spend 2 minutes up there.
Right.
And drive back down. It was so bloody cold up there. Oh, my God, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like a real winter day. We should have been dressed for snowboarding.
Mm-hmm. And it was windy. It was like almost like a blizzard conditions in some ways. I mean, the roads were clear, but the way that wind was blowing and snowing and pushing around, and
mm-hmm.
it's pretty.
Have
neat.
You ever gone skiing before, Brenda?
Well, Faye, back in 1980, I believe I did. I did once in high school. That's it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It wasn't too much of a success. I didn't find that much pleasure in falling on my ass every 2 seconds.
Right.
How about you?
That was part of our, like, our gymnastics or our gymnasium, you know, P.E. time. Yeah. Do you guys know what P.E. is?
Physical education.
Yeah, in school, we would have to go. You know what they made us do in school when I was a kid? We had to go cross-country skiing. That was our P.E.
Oh, my God.
I mean, what torture is that?
That's ridiculous. Could you get any momentum going? I've never done that before.
Oh, yeah, it's goofy, but no, we did it all the time. We were forced to. You had to get good at it, or else you'd get left behind in the bushes. Because we would go on, like, you know, hour-and-a-half treks. Okay, all you kids, get your skis. And I even owned cross-country skis, too.
Did you have those things that look like tennis rackets that you put on the bottom of your boots?
Snowshoes. Yeah, that was another P.E. thing. They made us go snowshoeing, too.
You didn't look very happy.
Well, no, it was cold, and we weren't really dressed for it either.
No. No, we weren't. But that was a really nice day. I didn't get as many good pictures. The ones I took at the top of the mountain were just looked like, because I got the dirty snow that they pushed around in the parking lot, and I was like, oh, wow, that's lovely.
And it was pretty much white out, too. Like, yeah. You couldn't see anything for all the snow that was flying around.
Mm-hmm. But I'll have to go back there again, and maybe I'll just go halfway up the mountain. And there was a very pretty stream that went along the side of the road that was quite intoxicating to me.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. It was all I could do not to just let you two sit up there and chat while I went crawling around and go down to the water's edge. I'll be back. If you don't see me in 20 minutes, come make sure I didn't fall in.
Yeah, we could just sit at the bottom of the river and look for a lens cap to go floating by, then we'd know.
Oh, she should be following. No, she's stuck on a rock. Well, the very next day, I went up to Birch Bay again.
Oh, yeah.
And sat on the side of the water I was out on the beach for almost 2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's winter time, Brenda.
It was a really nice day.
Wait till summer comes. You're going to be beside yourself.
I know. Well, this is a very mild winter. This is nothing compared to what I'm used to back in the Iowas.
True.
Yeah, besides it being my birthday, did you know what else today would have been?
No, I don't know.
Today would have been my
anniversary. The third anniversary of the fifth time I went diving. I don't know what.
Today would have been my wedding anniversary.
Oh, my God. You're kidding me.
No.
Oh. That's terrible.
Yeah, I don't advise you get married on your birthday, just in case.
Yeah. Oh, Brenda, I'm sorry.
Yeah, last night was kind of rough. I ended up calling my sister. I just started having this real anxious feeling, and I haven't really been exercising like I should, and I was talking to her, and as I talked to her, I started feeling better, and I realized that though I don't think I made the wrong decision, eventually going to be happy where I am, and that this change has happened. Much like when you quit smoking or quit any kind of weird habit, like, you feel kind of lost when it's gone.
Sure.
So I just, like, there's certain parts of the day sometimes where I just feel like something is horribly wrong. And that's the time when you feel like, oh, what the fuck? How did I get here? What am I doing here? I'm all by myself in this town, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, me, I have to have some kind of explanation of, like, how I'm feeling a certain way. And now that I've kind of put it into a context of, like, you know, when you move and you don't know quite where everything is, that's the way I feel kind of all the time, you know, like, I don't know quite where my toothbrush is. But anyway, yeah, today would have been 19 years.
Whatever possessed you to get married on your birthday?
For some reason, we were wanting to do it as soon as possible. I mean, there was no baby. But and, you know, you can't get married on Sundays in a church. So it was just the Saturday that was available.
Oh, brother.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it was fantastic back then.
Yeah, it seemed like, oh, looky, I'm getting married on my birthday. Ooh.
The most important day of my whole entire life.
Yeah. You know, that made me think about how we put so much importance, and I do it. I do it, too. So much importance on these, what we call milestones, you know? Our birthdays or anniversaries or, I guess that's what it mostly amounts to, is anniversaries of different things.
Right.
And how it can come back and bite you in the butt, right?
Sure. As you know, I'm not a fan of birthdays. I don't really like celebrating birthdays. And I don't care if you've had a birthday. It's meaningless to me, right? And so this is the kind of thing that bothers me, is the importance that people attach to this arbitrary day. It's all self-induced, right? I mean, you're doing it to yourself. This is really important. I'm going to be 50 on the 16th of February. Oh, my life is over.
Well, that was last year when my life was over. Now it's just a little bit more over. You know, if they're happy occasions, I'm all for it. As you know, I support the celebration of people's birthdays.
Yes.
I feel like anniversaries, wedding anniversaries, it's like, don't expect the whole world to acknowledge past your wedding date. It's like,
right,
this is between you two. And but I'm a supporter of birthdays. I mean, everybody's got one. I think everybody deserves to feel special for at least one day.
Well, okay, I'll give you that. I mean, you should feel special for one day, but what really did you do? All you did was plop out of your mother's vagina that day.
Successfully.
Yeah, but you were just a bubble of DNA and goo, like.
Well, actually, the vagina is just the canal I plopped out of her uterus. So.
Okay. Please excuse me for not having my definitions book open.
Okay.
But, I mean, really, so your mother should, really, it should be your mother we should be applauding, not you for turning over the 365th day.
Well, I guess I wonder why it's so offensive to you. That's my question.
Oh, well, because you didn't do anything.
Yeah, but
aside from, like, making smart decisions and not, you know, blowing yourself up with a pipe bomb in the shed, or, you know, being a dumbass and making bad decisions in life, I guess you deserve recognition for making it a year. But whatever. It's just a birthday. It's just a day.
Yeah. Well, you'll never get me over on your side of this argument.
Join my cult.
Nope.
We snip up people's driver's licenses and anything that has the birth date on it.
Well, so
in my cult we're gonna have a birth certificate burning day every year.
Every year? How are you gonna recreate a birth certificate every year?
For every new person who joins on, we're gonna burn their birth certificate. That's what we'll do. That's my new cult.
Well, that is part of the cult mentality, is that you lose all your identity, right? And you just become part of the greater good. Mm-hmm. The greater good.
And everyone will be a number.
So what's your number, Faye?
Number one.
That's right. See, it's not convenient. So let me, if you're gonna talk about importance or whatever, some people get a lot of feeling of importance by the possessions they have, right? Like, if they own something, they sometimes think that that elevates them to a higher status.
Yes.
So let's say somebody had a nice car, maybe two nice cars. What did you do besides buy that car? You didn't make that car, right?
No, but I worked hard. I worked my buns off to be able to afford it and scraped pennies together, and I wax it every week. And
you do not wax it every week.
Well, I wash it every week. I take care of it. I feed it.
I don't want to belabor this point, but a person does have to put in probably more effort to stay alive for a year than you have to do to keep your car running for a year.
Sure.
You got to feed a person every few hours, and you got to let it sleep. And if you took Mr. Anderson and put him in the garage and put a blankie over him and didn't pay attention to him for a week, something might happen, right?
True, yes, but he's not a car.
No,
nor is he a possession.
Right, but he can have a birthday, is what I mean.
No, you can't. Oh, yes. Okay, he can have a birthday. Okay, let's get off this birthday topic.
I'm fine with that, because it's my birthday. Hey, I want to acknowledge the fact that you acknowledged my birthday. So, at least you go through the motions, so I appreciate that. Whether you resent it or not, but thank you for doing it.
You're welcome. Well, you know, I mean, it's important to you. Your birthday is important to you, so you're important to me.
Oh, thank you.
So, hey, what else did you do on your birthday today?
Well, I worked, Faye. Who doesn't get up at 2:30 in the morning and go work on their birthdays? Don't you normally do that?
I work on my birthdays,
yeah,
yes.
I know. Yeah, I went and I've been doing this cleaning job that's hopefully temporary, but I have to get up at 2:30 in the a.m. and go clean toilets at a movie theater.
Congratulations, and more power to you for doing that.
Congratulations on what? The minimum pay or the obnoxious hours?
Just being able to find a job, I think, is one thing that needs to be lauded to begin with.
Yeah.
So,
I am, you know, it was took everything in me not to walk out that very first night when I saw them all walking around with headlamps on, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, this is a crock of shit. $10 an hour for this? I don't think so. Sometimes I have noticed in my life that if I follow my inclinations, it's probably the exact opposite of what I should do.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I was like,
you're just a walking paradox, aren't you?
What do you mean?
If you follow your first inclination, you're doomed.
Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'll just stick it out a little bit. And part of it also is like, my parents are helping me like pay my rent this month.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be really kind of a big slap in the face to them if I said, you know, I will take your money, but I won't even try to offset any of my expenses, right?
Right. Yeah.
So I felt like it was kind of the respectful thing to do. this was just a ridiculous setup, but so many people do it, you know, like there was, I'm not the only buddy, only person there cleaning in the middle of the night at this place, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, part of me, when I came in there and I was like, seeing the headlamps, I was thinking, God, maybe I am a princess because I really feel like this is below me.
Mm-hmm. It is awfully strange that they can't turn the lights on in the place. There's nobody else there, right? There's no customers.
Mm-mm.
The whole place is shut down. Why can't they turn the frickin' lights on?
So,
like, that's the ultimate in cheapskatery by whatever movie theater you're working at. If they can't even be bothered to light the place so you guys can clean it for their clients.
I know. Well, it's on a timer, right? So I was able to figure out the timer, or, you know, somebody told me how to override the timer, but there's a certain time of night when even, like, all the kind of ambient lighting in the hallways is gone. So mm-hmm. it's pitch black. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Very weird. But now let's talk about this, though. I mean, you actually having to get a job. You're going through a very difficult time right now because you've basically parachuted yourself into what is essentially a foreign country, right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's going to take some time for you to get your bearings and to get planted and figure out the landscape you're in. And, you know, you're not necessarily going to get your best rest of your life job in the first month that you get to a new place, right?
Right.
So I think you should pat yourself on the back for, one, having the gumption to take a job, whatever job, that will help support you while you get set up there.
Yeah.
Like, you're not set up right now, really. You can't tell me that you want to live the rest of your life the way you're living right now. This is like a stepping stone, right? This is a transitional period.
I want to live the rest of my life sleeping on two air mattresses, Faye, and I don't see what's anything wrong with that.
Absolutely. That's a dream that we all have.
I told my sister when I was talking to her, I said, my friend Faye and his friend, the back girl, came, and she was sitting in my place, and all of a sudden I could see my place through her eyes, and it was kind of like, what the fuck is going on in here? You got mattresses on the floor, you got two folding tables, what the hell? So, no, it's not, this is not the end.
Right.
No.
Well, anyway, I just want to make sure everybody knows that you should be commended for getting to Bellingham, getting set up there, so to speak, and for even finding jobs as quickly as you have.
Thank you.
And I hope that sticking with this company will lead to a better job. It sounds like you're waiting for a better position to come up, right?
Yeah, switching hours. I think I made a good impression. Like, he wants to accommodate me because I told him that the schedule that he had was too much. I couldn't do it. And rather than just tell me to buzz off, he'd find somebody else who could. He's brought in another person to do part of the schedule, so I don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I can continue to do the kind of the job that they want. Well, it turns out this is a brand new job for them.
Oh, yeah.
So they're trying to show that they can do a good job. So I think that was important to them. But, you know, I don't want to be cleaning for the rest of my life. I don't think this continuing to clean is not in my best interest.
Right. Yep.
So I'm not going. Like you said, a stepping stone to it. So, but then my boss today, I wanted to share with everybody why I was being so wheezy. So, Faye.
Yes.
Pretend you're surprised when I tell you this little story right now, okay?
Yeah, okay.
So,
I'll do my best acting.
Okay.
This is my best voiceover work you're ever going to get, okay? Here we go.
Okay. So, Faye, I go and I'm cleaning these bathrooms that have like 7 urinals in it. And have you ever been in a bathroom with a urinal where there wasn't piss splashed all over the floor and on the walls?
Why, no, Brenda. That's an everyday, daily occurrence in my life.
Well, seriously, though, men don't have the best track record with standing
they
in
They really have, don't seem to be able to pay attention to what they're doing. They're only really doing one thing, but do you think they can spend a little effort at it? No.
No. Gross. Anyway, so he walks in and he's like, oh, it kind of smells like urine in here. And I said, well, I haven't mopped yet. And he's like, hey, I want to show you something.
Well, it is a bathroom.
Right.
Yes, okay, I haven't mopped, uh-huh.
Yeah, I could see the urine on the floor. It was sticky.
Ugh.
Yeah. Faye, you don't even want to...
What's the matter with people? Anyway, carry on.
I don't know. Why do people think that it's a good idea to put chewing tobacco in a urinal?
Oh, well.
What? You can support that?
No, well, I can't. I mean, no, but I know how dumb men are. Like, they'll think it's a great idea. This spittoon. It's a giant spittoon.
Anyway, so...
And bubblegum. Bubblegum in the urinals. What kind of an idiot puts gum in the urinal? Oh, people are such dinks.
Yeah, they're... I have something else to say about that. But, so remember that. People are dinks. So he takes me back to this other bathroom that I'd already cleaned. And he says, here, I want to show you something. You take this solution of bleach and water and spray it on there underneath all these urinals. And then come back and mop it up. And it kills the smell, right?
Oh, sure. Okay.
So he sprays it and it starts to bubble. And he says, I wonder why it bubbles like that. And I'm going, uh-huh. Well, it could be that pee is mostly ammonia, right?
Sure, muric acid.
And...
Or uric acid.
Yeah. And do you mix ammonia and bleach together?
I don't think so.
No.
Not a good idea.
No. My lungs got a little burnt from that little sensation. So, I mean, unless he's standing right beside me... I don't know that I'll ever do that again. And next time he asks me, like if he says, have you been doing that? I'm going to say, I don't think it's that good of an idea to do that.
Or you could at least do it after, as the last step. Like after you mop and clean, you could squirt a little bleach water on the walls, I suppose.
Yeah, but then you got to come. Yeah, but then you have to come back and mop it up.
Well, can't you just do it like Febreze style? Just a little little spritz, little perfume?
That would make more sense, wouldn't it? I'd have to use a different thing than he had, because what he did, it came out in pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Heavy amounts.
Aren't there better things than bleach, though, to disinfect a bathroom with?
Yeah.
Like, at my work, we have special disinfectant for this special purpose.
Bleach is one of the worst things. I don't ever clean with bleach. And then he says, well, you got to be careful because you get it on your shoes, you can get it all over the carpet out there. And I'm like, yeah, duh. This is why you don't use bleach in an industrial setting like that. It was stupid.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I... So, in the middle of the night, basically,
In the middle of the night. Do you sing that song to yourself?
No, I try not to cry. What am I doing in this bathroom at 3 a.m?
That would be a great date for me.
Oh, Faye, you should find a better place for your dates than a bathroom. Gross.
Carry on, Brenda. So you're 3 o'clock in the morning.
You brought it up. Oh, that's it.
Oh.
That's the whole story. Bleach and ammonia, they do not mix.
So now, how long do you expect to be doing this 3 a.m. job, and when do you hope to get on the 4 p.m.?
Yeah, I don't know how long I can stick it out. It's kind of like a white-knuckling experience as it is right now.
Yeah.
But it's providing some structure.
Right.
And I do get off work by 8:30 in the morning, so it kind of...
And do you talk to the people that you work with, or are they all just... busy bees?
Well, that's funny you should mention that, because a guy who has been helping me lately, why, he is...
Yes, another Bellinghamite?
Yes, I found out he is a Vietnam vet.
Oh my goodness, a Vietnam vet.
Yes. Go ahead.
Vietnam? Like, that was a long time ago, Brenda. Are you sure?
That's what he told me. He says, he asked me today when he was helping me, he's like, do you want me to get the little bags where the ladies put their tampons Dinkies. And stuff in? Yes. And I said, oh, well, if you don't mind. He goes, I don't care. I saw a lot worse things in Vietnam. He said that. I wish I was making it up, but I was like, oh my god.
Oh my god. Wow. So how old is this guy?
61.
You're kidding me.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Why? But that's not right, Brenda.
I know it's not right. He was telling me about his experiences when he was in the he was on a ship, so he was in the Navy.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Interesting.
That was when I was born.
He must have just hit the last bit of it.
It's not right that a 60-year-old war veteran who served the great country of America has to work at a movie theater, the midnight run at the movie theater. Like, that's just crazy.
It's not even his only job. He does another job besides. That's a lot more common than I like to admit. People working a full-time job and then another job, too. Have you ever done that?
No, I've done contract work where I've had several jobs at the same time, but I've never had a proper regular 9-to-5 or full-time job and had to work a second one.
I did that for a few years back before I got married. I worked at a bank for 40 hours, and then I would go and clean for 4 hours a night. I only could do that for like 2 years. Because that's a long ass day.
You're just working 24 hours a day.
Yeah, it was rough. And that was just to make ends meet. I was only getting paid like $6 an hour at the bank or something. Mm. That's basically what I'm getting paid now, too. So, anyway, with inflation and whatnot.
All right.
So, but also on the work front, I finally got paid from that lady I called.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
I was worried about that.
Yeah, I was starting to accept the fact that I was never going to see that $70.
Right.
Well, what's been going on with you? I've just been jabbering on and on and on and on.
Well, I have been, the last time we saw each other was your fake birthday celebration day. Mm-hmm. Because I'm working right now. I was at work the last 2 days. I work tonight on the day we're recording this. Mm-hmm. I've been working on Mr. Anderson's scooter, so that's been my project for my days off.
To get it so he can ride it again?
We're just getting it serviced, the winter service on it, and getting it prepped for a new season of riding, which will be not for 2 months, but...
Uh-huh.
You know, these things sneak up on you. Got to get them done.
Right. It's a nice one.
Yes. So I've been working on his scooter, and I've been farting around about the house, and Mr. Anderson and I went clothes shopping.
Who bought clothes? You or him?
We both bought lots of things.
No. You're lying. Mr. Anderson bought new clothes?
Yeah, he got a dress shirt, like a button-down shirt, and a t-shirt, and some new long johns.
Yeah.
And a new pair of boots.
Yeah.
Dog walking boots.
I was going to say, for walking the dog, yep.
Mm-hmm. And I got a jacket, like a mid-range, mid-season, spring, winter, summer jacket.
Mm-hmm. What color? Tell us about that. I knew you wanted one.
It's like it actually looks like an army coat. It's green. It's a, like, army style green.
Oh. Okay, sure.
I'm not a fashionista. I just wear clothes because I look magnificent in them.
God almighty. Yes.
So that was our big weekend shopping trip that we did.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, just been doing my normal stuff. Work's been busy. Two hectic days this last couple of days. It's got me worn out.
Hmm.
No breaks, Brenda. They made me work with no break.
What's up with that shit? Were they out fighting a fire?
Yeah, we had all kinds of things going on. We had a truck drive through a building and take a gas meter with it.
Oh, dear.
And
with gas hooked up to that meter?
It's a very large supply line to a warehouse, in fact.
Oh, Jesus.
So...
That can't be good.
So that was kind of a big deal. And, I won't tell you about the other calls. They're all kind of depressing. But it's a pretty active day.
People died?
Well, people trying to kill themselves. And,
it's that time of year.
Yeah, I guess so. Yesterday was Monday. Apparently it was Blue Monday. Mm. The saddest day of the year.
I think I was feeling some of that yesterday.
Yeah,
I feel better today.
Oh, that's good.
Speaking of people being twinks, can I tell you something?
Yeah, nice segue.
I was sitting in a parking lot a while back. I don't remember why, if I was just killing time or what, but... You know, since I moved here, there's been different times where I've had to log some time in a parking lot.
Right. Uh-huh.
So, I was sitting there, and this very nicely dressed woman came out of a store, went to her giant SUV that was brand new and nice, and unloads her stuff from the cart into the SUV, and then proceeds to just leave the cart sitting there without taking it to one of the cart corrals.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I saw somebody else do it one other time recently that was a very nice, great big truck, brand new. They were dressed, nicely dressed. And because I'd always wondered, what kind of butt munches are doing this? Like, they just leave the cart sitting out littered in the parking lot?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, now I know.
Well, there you go.
People who have the means... to have beautiful cars can't be bothered with the most slightest of considerate behavior, it seems.
Right. The inconvenience of sending that perambulator that carried all your shit that you're going to load into your oversized house.
On wheels. Exactly. I just thought that was interesting because people always want to assume... that, you know, lower-income people have no class. Well, I don't know about that.
Right.
And if they had gotten banged up by one of those carts...
Uh-huh.
They would have never stopped bitching to the store about it, right?
Absolutely. Imagine the indignity of it all.
Mm-hmm.
People suck. This is the very kind of thing I was talking about earlier where the world just beats you down because everyone, all they care about is their own thing. Mm-hmm. It's not my cart anymore. I'm finished using it. Why should I be responsible for it?
Mm-hmm.
Let me remind you, you wanted me to remind you about the fact that people are dinks since we're talking about the lady in the parking lot. So do you think it's natural, it's normal human nature that we should expect that people are going to be nice, that we should trust people, or do you think we should be suspicious of people, like how I was talking about everyone's holding everything to their chest and it's me, 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 and don't take my green army coat, you know, that's on sale because I want it.
Yeah, do you think it's a learned behavior that we expect the best or the worst out of people?
I think it's natural instinct for each one of us to mistrust people and be suspicious and wary, because I think being the Neanderthal man that we came from, it's all about preserving yourself, hunting and gathering, and looking after your own tribe.
Mm-hmm.
So I think because I don't want you to take my green pea coat that's on sale, then we mistrust people. we're wary of everybody about everything.
I'm gonna go ahead and agree with you, because I think based on what comes naturally to us as children, we are very self-serving, and it does take somebody to teach you that, hey, you can't act like a spoiled brat, right?
Right.
No child comes out of the womb and then grows into this kind of a saint-like creature, right? I think that's really all taught behavior.
Right.
So, do you think, to go on with the next part of that question, which I have been thinking about lately for some reason, but do you think that by squelching these natural desires of kind of, I think we're a lot more hostile people than we really realize, but we kind of suppress all that to live in a civilized society, like, because we depend on each other?
Yes, it's the social contract we assume when we go out into the world. I'll be nice to you, you fucking dick, and you be nice to me,
right.
And I'll buy your watermelon, and you can take my shekels, and then we'll just carry on, and I'm going to take my watermelon back to my cave.
Mm-hmm. Do you think our quality of life is, even though it's better, do you think that it's part of the reason why everybody is so restless is because we are constantly suppressing this desire to tell people to fuck off?
I don't think it's that simple. I think we've manufactured this problem ourselves in the current economic environment that we live in here in North America, or in first world countries, which I call the Western world, and I include in the Western world all of those non-Western countries, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think because we live by this economic model that says, I need to go to work, I need to buy an expensive car, I need to mortgage my house, I need to do all these societally accepted ideals. And because that is so difficult to do, and our peer pressure in society says we need to live our lives like this, everyone is so heavily engaged in creating this world that we're harried. We're always rushed. We always work too hard. And we are sort of battered down by this need to do all these things to be a productive member of society.
So do you think this is our emotional undoing? Do you think that's why people, there's so much mental illness, is because we're constantly fighting our own natural impulses? There's a few people, relatively speaking, that have the majority of the money.
Yes.
We're all agreeing to abide by other people's standards and abide by other people's idea of what's right and wrong so we can get part of their shekels. But I don't think that's human nature.
I don't know. You can't answer this question in three paragraphs, though.
You know, we have a big tribe of humanity. Then we have all these smaller tribes. Like, we have the tribe of the United States, and then we have the tribe of the counties and the cities, and then it comes all the way down to the tribe of you and your mate, and if you have some offspring, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And typically, there's always one person. A successful tribe usually has one person in charge, right?
Yes.
So we've taken what probably worked with a small little group of people and extended that to our entire culture.
Right.
So now I think a lot of people feel like they would be in charge, but they can't because they have to work for somebody. And I think that creates a lot of angst. I know it does for me personally. That's what I'm basing it on.
Okay.
It's hard for me to substitute what I think is right and wrong, what other people do, and then but I will do it in order to get along, but then I have this constant battle in my head, which then kind of leads to I think sometimes that creates why I get depressed, and I feel like, ugh, God, I can't get anywhere because I don't think you're right, but there's nothing I can do about it. Do you have those feelings?
I don't think so.
You don't? Because you're pretty strong-headed and you've got definite opinions. If you don't subscribe to something, you are not afraid to say it.
It sounds like you're living a really suppressed and depressing life. You worry about these kinds of things. You worry all the time that you are living a life that you have no control over, is what you're telling me, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that's the way I feel. I feel like my efforts are for naught a lot of times. Let me give you an example.
Give me an example.
All right. So, as you know, I take a variety of medicines, and I had to establish a new care here, right?
Yes.
So I was getting like I needed some refills. So I went to this place and I got an appointment and I talked to this person who I thought I was getting refills from, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they hadn't. They hadn't sent in the refills. So I was like, they're like, well, just get refills from your other doctor, which was from another state, right? I said, sure, okay. So I go to Fred Meyer and I say, I need some refills. Da da da. This is the pharmacy. They call, they get them transferred, and then they call me back and they say, we can't refill them because it's from another state because of this insurance you're on. So part of the reason I had to use the refills is because my main caregiver didn't feel comfortable giving me refills because she hadn't met me yet. So I had an appointment, which I thought took care of that situation, but it really didn't. And then I tried to get refills, but that wouldn't work. And then I had to call again to say, okay, that's fine. Get me an appointment. And they're like, okay, well, here's an appointment, but it's after the date that your medicine runs out. And I said, could I please just have enough medicine to get me through to the... Yeah, they ended up doing it over the... You know, I got my medicine.
Right.
But that's a lot of fucking hassles.
You're caught up in the bureaucratic mess of the way the world works.
Right. It just feels like, even though I felt like I was doing exactly what they said, then they kept changing the rules on me. They're like,
I see.
Make an appointment. Okay, I made an appointment. Oh, well, that wasn't the right appointment. Make another appointment. Okay.
Right. But that's daily, that's just daily light living. Like, life is a bureaucracy.
I find that stuff very frustrating.
I realize how frustrating it is, but really, that's just everyday life occurrences. Mm-hmm. It's the way people are. Like, people don't care about you and the fact that you're running out of medicine. All they care about is that you're not following the rules properly. Oh, but somebody told me this was the rule. Well, they were wrong because that person didn't know what they were talking about. But I encounter that all the time.
Yeah.
And I understand it's frustrating, but that's what happens. That's the way life is.
Yeah, I got over it. It was just an example of putting a lot of effort into getting a very small result.
Right. But that's what, I mean, that happens in every aspect of life, though, I think.
But Faye, I work so hard to make such a small amount of money.
Yeah, I know. I know it's hard. Life is hard, Brenda.
It is. So that's why I say, that's why I feel frustrated, like a person who tries to follow these rules and do what's right, and then you don't, it's just that kind of feeling of like, I'm doing what everybody's supposed to be doing, but somehow Donald Trump is a billionaire, and he's that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And how I was bringing that around to our conversation, I was like saying, is that a big trade-off for people? Is this quality of life, is it worth the trade-off of peace of mind?
My answer to that is that you can't spend all your time worrying about the fact that this is the way the bureaucracy works. Tab A goes into slot B. Like, Okay, yes, that is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to follow the rules. We're supposed to stand in this line to get a ticket so that you can go stand in the other line. As long as we recognize that, we don't need to focus our whole life and energy on that. There's more to life than carrying around the rage that comes with dealing with life, right?
Yeah.
I prefer to think that, yes, life sucks. I recognize that life sucks and it's hard and it's difficult. But you can't dwell on that fact. You've got to find some enjoyment in things.
Yeah.
So, like, let's not get too tied up in the fact that the world is a shitty place. But let's acknowledge it. Let's play the rules. We'll ride on the train when we have to ride the single line train track and then carry on with our lives and be happy the rest of the time.
Right. I will agree with you on that, but my question, which you don't seem to want to answer, is
I don't understand the question. There's too many emotions in it.
Just saying that, would we be happier as a group? As do you think we would have more contentment in life even if we didn't all have access to Skype or a TV that was the size of a wall or all these modern conveniences, but we felt like we had more control over our own destiny? That's my question.
My answer is yes, absolutely. But this is the way that you do. What you're saying is, which I agree, you're only going to be happy when you forsake all of this technology and the next best thing. If you think you're only going to be happy because you're driving around in a Tesla, then you're wrong. You can't. That's not true happiness. But we can't all live on a cave and milk a goat and, right, and eat wheat. Like, this doesn't work anymore in the 21st century. So right. You have to buy into this society. But if you're going to buy into the society, you have to go into it knowing that these things are not important. It's the other things. It's the non-tangible things that we should be living for.
Mm-hmm.
Like our friendships with Brenda Boo in the United States.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I just wonder if it's our impulse that, if this is part of that animal instinct that's always going to be there, that we kind of have to fight it down. That's all.
Yeah, I think we probably do.
Yeah.
Okay, Brenda.
Yes, dear.
You've been working all morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to go work all night.
Yes, you do. It's time for you to go to bed.
Right. So we should say goodbye.
Okay.
And we should thank our listeners for sticking it out through this very confusing episode of Drive Time to NOPA.
Yeah, if they can drive around with us in that last bit of the conversation, I'll be very impressed.
Right. And if someone can write me and explain to me what I said so that I know too, then I will appreciate it. You can write us at fayandbrenda@gmail.com.
My tip is, don't combine anybody's urine with a bottle of bleach.
Precisely. Good bit of advice to end off the show.
Yes. Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.